Welcome to the Make the Day Awesome podcast, where we share stories of hope and inspiration to shine a light on a better tomorrow. But for today, I hope you choose to make the day awesome. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Make the Day Awesome podcast. I am joined today by special guest Philip Sessions out of Greenville, South Carolina. Philip, how you doing this morning?
I'm great. How about you, Joshua?
Doing beautiful, man. It's a gorgeous day here. I can't complain. So, Philip, tell us a little bit about yourself before we jump in here.
Yeah, so I'm a new father of a beautiful little 2.5-month-year-old girl. So excited about that. Husband, Christian, author, podcaster, a leadership and transformation specialist at BMW, working my way to being a coach, a speaking coach for people to help get their message out there. And so that's just a little bit about me and who I am.
Dude, that's awesome. So Philip, we've been connected here for a minute with the Apex, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Family of choice right there.
How did you come across Apex? How'd that story happen?
Man, I've been following Ryan Stuman for several years. And honestly, I kind of go back with the G-Code app that I'm sure you use as well, where, you know, Gratitude Genetics Group and I'm forgetting the other one. But anyways.
Grind.
Yeah, Grind. So I look back and I'm like, I have over 700 days ago or whatever. So a couple of years ago, I actually got the app. I never joined Apex. So I was kind of like one of the people that are almost like an OG that didn't actually join. So like, it's almost like a shame thing, but you know, whatever. But I followed him for a long time. I can't remember if I found his podcast first or books or what I found first, but I've been following for a long time. And Drewby Wilson, who's pretty much who everybody pretty much joined Apex through, seems like he's the guy that you joined Apex through. He had talked to me several times, and finally, after I went to Million Dollar Mastermind last year, it finally dawned on me that I need to be a part of this group. This group is different than a lot of other groups that I've been a part of so far, and so that's really what made me want to join, because they were just different than everything else, and it was more than just business and making money.
Dude, I went to that Million Dollar Mastermind. What was the best moment for you? Like, what was
really
the most impactful?
I'm not, there's so many good speakers. And I'll say I like the theme overall. It seemed to be like business with Christ involved in that, and a lot about family ties, all kind of interwoven within all the messages of the speakers. All the speakers were amazing. And probably my most enjoyable part of that whole thing was getting to meet all these people that I had met online, because I was a part of Arte before joining Apex. And which is another group that a lot of people seem to be a part of in our circle. But I got to meet these people finally for the first time in person. And what was crazy is we had had several conversations, whether it's on the phone, texting, messenger, Zoom calls. Once we finally met in person, it was like seeing your long lost friend, that friend you hadn't seen in years. And you're just meeting for the first time and you've only talked online. And so that was really the best part to me, is to really be able to see all these people that it was kind of like, man, hopefully we can meet up one day. And then we finally did meet up that one day. That was definitely my best part. What about you?
For me, it was okay. So MDM was kind of that turning point for my story, mm-hmm. right? Getting there, getting around like-minded people and just starting to climb that ladder out of that pit that I was stuck in. Honestly, Billie Jean, when he got up there, his story, those videos that he had shared, they just hit me on such a raw level, because it was similar to things that I was going through in my struggle. I had to go out of the room at one point, because it was too much. It was too much and all that. But then as I look back on that, yes, you made a very valid point. It was Christian minded business without being like, it wasn't God push, right?
Yeah.
Everybody shared their testimony. And this is the beautiful part about it, because I went for a networking mastermind, for a business mastermind, for this life lesson, and everybody shared their testimony without coming out. It's, aside from Steve Weatherford, when he got up and said, I know it's been a long 2 days, but sit down. I'm going to take you out of church tonight. I'm like, oh, snap. It's on. Yeah. It's on. And that's when, but dude, it was honestly an amazing event. And I highly recommend that anybody check it out for sure.
So definitely totally worth the value. It was like what, a couple hundred bucks to go to the event, like totally worth the value to go to that event for sure.
Oh, absolutely. So I kind of lucked out a little. Zach got me a little hookup when I joined Apex. So
nice.
Zach's my boy. So I send him everybody. But Drewby too. Drewby doo. All right. So let's get into a little bit of your backstory, like where you came from, what school life was like, you know, young Phil, what built Phil? Philip.
Man, so I grew up in the Hockley, Texas area, which is just northwest, about an hour or so outside of the Houston, Texas area. So native Texan. I grew up kind of as the smaller guy. You wouldn't believe it now if you saw me, because I do have more muscles than I did back then. But I was a small guy, always kind of felt like the outsider, was very quiet and timid, didn't really talk to anybody, had friends, had acquaintances, but I never really felt like I fit in anywhere. Okay. Finally get into high school, really started coming out of my shell a little bit, but it was really just around friends, around people I was comfortable with. And was in sports, but was never excellent at them, never could really exceed at them, and found out that I was a lot better at individual sports like track and cross country versus the team sports, because I could push myself. And I started realizing that I get frustrated on the team sports because I wanted to push myself and I wanted to win and do my best and really have our team do the best that we can do. But the team didn't have that same effort. That team didn't have that same drive. And so I really found that I was kind of more of that lone dog in the whole thing. And then finally in college is where things really start changing for me. That's where I actually got into working out, because I said, hey, I'm going to change things up. I'm going to actually start going to the gym because I want to get muscles. I want to be attractive, or more attractive to females. And I want to better myself. And as I started lifting weights and working out and getting bigger muscles, I started attracting more guys. More guys would come up and talk to me about like, man, how'd you get so big? Like, how did you do that? What are you doing? And all this stuff. And less girls seemed to talk to me. So it was a opposite reaction of what I expected. But I still didn't have that outgoing spirit to talk to women. I could still talk to guys, no problem. And, you know, be like, hey, what's up, man? Like, or ask them for help and as far as spotting or whatever it may be. But I still didn't have that courage to talk to women. And so I finally, over time, started putting myself out there and pushing myself to get out of that comfort zone more and more. And so I was able to do that. But then I couldn't find the right woman. And so it took me a while to figure out that I needed to work on myself first. So my first self-development book, like most people, was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And so I read that, and that really started me on my journey of self-development. And my first big conference I went to was GrowthCon 2 with Grant Cardone, 10X GrowthCon 2. Nice. And that was it.
Oh, I said nice.
Oh, yeah. And that really changed a lot of things. I realized, man, these are the kind of people I need to be around. There was a lot of awesome people. And that's where I met two mentors of mine, Andy Frazella and Ed Milet. Well, I went ahead and went to GrowthCon 3. And realized that became a lot of a pitch fest, but I did meet one guy there that actually introduced me to this group called Arate Syndicate, which is what Ed and Andy, who I met at GrowthCon 2, or kind of met, I saw them on stage, they started that group. And so I got a part of Arate Syndicate, which really helped me open up my eyes to see that, wow, other people think just like me. Other people want to become better And the fact that people are like way beyond what I ever could have imagined. Also, I'm in rooms with people that are making 7, 8, and 9 figures, and not literally, but in some cases it was literally, because going to events like MDM with Apex later, and went to the RTA Syndicate event in St. Louis the weekend before I got married. And just being in these rooms, you realize that there's so much more to life, that you can do anything that you put your mind to. And so fast forward to today, and that's why I'm down the path of helping people with speaking, because I've realized that everybody has a message. Everybody has a path that they've been on where they felt like that underdog, where they felt like that person that wasn't good enough, but finally something switched and they were able to change their life, change that trajectory that they were on, and they're able to impact people in a way. Now, Joshua, you and I can have the same exact message, tell the same thing to the T, like every single word, and you will impact people differently and different people than I will, simply because of the story, and the person you are versus the person that I am. Neither one of us are bad people, but because of our backgrounds, because of the stories maybe we provide, people will resonate with one of us more than the other. And so that's where I'm at now, really helping people build their message, and whether it be on a book or a podcast, and I know you're an author as well, and obviously a podcaster too, or just speaking on video or on stage, wherever you're speaking at, getting that message out, because your message is important. And so that's me in a nutshell, kind of my journey.
That's the nutshell. So, similar vibes, dude. I totally relate to that unconnected kid. Grade school, middle school, high school, whatever. Totally vibe with that, dude, because I was there. So at what point in this journey do you think you had the hardest struggle that you went through?
I'd probably say whenever it was finally time for me to realize I needed to develop myself before I could find a mate. That was difficult, because, I had went on dates with girls and things just didn't work out. I kept wondering why they weren't working out. And I would take a look at myself too. I mean, sometimes it was blatantly obvious. It was the girl, she was weird or crazy or whatever it may have been. But sometimes I knew it was probably more me than her, but I couldn't figure out what I could do to fix that. And finally going through self-development and really just working on myself and making myself better was whenever it happened. And really the catalyst that changed everything was when I decided what was most important to me. My faith is very important to me. And when I would date these girls, I would talk about, I go to church, it's very important to me, but then I didn't really want to push it. I didn't want to be pushy about that when I would date them. So they may have not went as much as I did, or weren't really into actually going to church, although they were a Christian. But they didn't really go, and they didn't practice the way that I did. And we didn't see eye to eye with that. But rather than confronting that and saying, hey, this is a hard thing for me, this is something that has to happen, it's a non-negotiable, I just kind of let it slide, and then hope that after 3-4 months or something of dating, that things would get a little bit better. But they didn't. And so finally, I said, enough's enough. Like, I'm just going to say, this is it. Like, it's either we're doing this day, we're going to church together, or this isn't going to work out. And when I made that decision, it took 2 relationships before it finally worked out. The first one, we just couldn't see eye to eye when it came to our beliefs within the Christian faith. We just had different beliefs. We couldn't come together and figure that out, which is fine. We only went our separate ways, and we're actually both married now. From last I saw, she was engaged and everything. And my second relationship, I actually almost broke up with this girl, which is now my wife, but I almost broke up with her, and I did give her a second chance, obviously, but I said, hey, this isn't working out, because church is very important to me. And she was a nurse, so she was working every other weekend and stuff, and working nights. So I knew it was hard. So I was trying to give her some benefit of the doubt and give her some leeway and everything. But I was like, hey, you're not even trying to go. You're just like, yeah, I'm tired. I'm like, but you're tired all the time. Like, there's gotta be a time where you just push through. And so finally I was like, enough's enough. But what was funny is even though I told her from the beginning, and I didn't tell this other girl that the first one I dated after making this decision, but I told her, I will not marry you unless if you are a Christian, like unless you're going to church with me and everything. And I had not told the other one that. So I was like very harsh about this, but even with telling her that straight up and then kind of talking about it again and again, apparently it wasn't enough. I hadn't told her enough times that, hey, this is a hard thing for me. You have to, non-negotiable, this has to happen. But whenever I went to break up with her, she realized, oh, he's serious. So I say that to say in any relationship or just in general, whatever is a non-negotiable for you, you have to repeat that over and over. Because we as humans, if it's not something that's a part of us, it's not something we resonate with directly, we're not going to see that as a non-negotiable. We're going to almost run over that idea and just ignore it almost, or just really just forget about it. We're forgetful beings. And so you have to continue to remind people of what those non-negotiables are. And so that was really the pivotal point for me, is really finding out and saying, this is my non-negotiable, and some of the other stuff too, but that was the big one. That was the non-negotiable. And that's what really changed my life.
Yeah. We hear that all the time, especially in Apex. I'm not in Arte, so I can't speak to that, but even in Apex, you know, we talk about our core values, our non-negotiables.
Mm-hmm.
And even Ryan has shared his story with him and Amy multiple times about how he wrote down everything that he wanted in that mate and said, this is it. This is it. Mm-hmm. This is what it has to be. Mm-hmm. And I do believe my faith is a very huge part of me, and that's a non-negotiable. Sundays are church. Tuesday night, I'm at Celebrate Recovery with my family there. And if I get extra time during the week that I can go in and volunteer with the students or whatever it may be, that's a very non-negotiable for me as well.
Mm. Love it, man. Yeah, it's so important. And then figure out what those are and sharing that with your spouse or whoever, I guess at the time, if you're dating them, really sharing what those are and being able to be aligned. You don't have to, I mean, well, I guess really they need to be almost a non-negotiable for the other one at the same time, but not everything. You're not going to both enjoy the same things completely, but they need to be willing to, I guess, flex that way with you. Because again, you know, marriage, relationships, they're not 50-50. It's not right down the center that you split everything. You're going to have to go more towards the one side or more towards the other side and really flex yourself over that way. So as long as they're willing to go about that, and this is more things than just Christianity, than just faith, but as long as they're willing to flex, then you know you can work through that. Because you should also be willing to be flexible, because if you're not, then clearly you're the problem.
Yeah, and communication is big, and I think in today's society we've become such a society of just do what makes you feel good.
Yeah,
that we lost that, like we lost the communication, we lost that interpersonal connection, and we're just whatever makes you happy, right?
And it's so funny how we're so disconnected, yet we're more connected now than ever with technology.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get into, I want to talk, you said you're a life transformation, can't talk today, life transformation specialist, correct?
Leadership transformation.
Oh, leadership transformation specialist. So let's, I want to bring that around to what you're doing now by helping people become confident in their speaking roles. How long have you been in leadership development?
So I actually switched this role about 7 months ago. I was actually an engineer before that. So controls engineer, automating the process of building cars, building things in general, making all the parts match up, whatever, put robots in there, everything. I would make the whole process automatic. And so I made that transition because I like to say I wanted to work more with people than robots, than computers. As it's great, it's a big challenge for me to figure out the puzzle, so to say, figure out the process and make things work and automate it. But I really want it to work more with people. And so I've gotten the opportunity at BMW to be able to get on that people development side with the leadership and transformation, and help with leadership development and professional development, and find skill gaps that need to be closed and how we can address those and how we can move the company forward with the targets that we have going forward. And so I made that switch about 7 months ago so I could get more experience for myself on a personal level to be able to help develop others in their speaking abilities.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So what is your speaking background?
I know my you're speaking involved background, in some
other. Yes. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you're fine. Yeah. So my speaking background, mainly podcasts. I've been on a couple of stages now, which has been really cool, really small stages, nothing crazy big, like 10X or anything like that, which that'd be pretty frightening at first, but once you get going, that's actually the thing. Once you get into it, you should be pretty good. I know that's how I get a little nervous at the beginning, but once I get going, things are good. But like I said, mainly podcast, doing some presentations, especially at work now. A lot of the projects that we bring up, I have to go to the upper management circles and speak with them and everything. And that's the main portion of my speaking, besides, you know, doing lives and videos for my own social media posts, which is honestly a great way to get started and get your face in front of a lot of people.
Dude, it really is. And like, I know you, you have a book that you wrote,
mm-hmm.
correct? But the podcast, like even when I started the Make the Day Awesome podcast, like I was aiming for 2 and 3 minute episodes to just kind of bring a little bit of inspiration every day, Monday through Friday type gig. And it's grown now to a point where I'm running about 12 minutes on average per episode. Nice. And like, it's comfortable. Like it's crazy. The more you do it, practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
The more you do it, the easier it gets. Although I will say interviews always nerve wrack me because I never know what's going to happen. But we can't be in control all the time, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So interviews are definitely a great way, especially when it comes to podcasts, to really get a good solid 30, 45 minutes, an hour, whatever you're wanting it to be. You get something pretty solid as far as a longer length video. But yeah, doing that one where it's just solo episodes, that is difficult because here you are just kind of talking to yourself. We can't have this volley back and forth between you and I to be able to have that conversation.
Absolutely.
So really, how do you do that? And so I want to ask, how do you do that? How have you gotten to where your episodes have gotten longer?
So it's become honestly, it's really about being in a flow state. Like that's bottom line. Like I'll start with a topic, and no lie, I will start 2 or 3 times until I find the right start. So like the first 2 or 3 minutes, I'll know if this is going where I want it to go. If not, I'll just go back and start it over. And generally like 2 or 3 times I do that. But once I get into that flow state, and then I can align it and connect it with a lesson that I've had in the past, a story to bring with it, then it all just connects. And then it's just, then it becomes open book. Then it just flows. And honestly, not all the time do I remember what I say in the podcast because it just flows.
Yeah.
Right? I think Stacy talked about it at her last event. Was she gets up there, she gets down off stage, she doesn't remember what she said because she was just in that moment and it was just the message was being delivered. And I believe that whatever message I need to share that day will be delivered to me and it's going to come.
Love it, man. That's a way to do it. You know, if you're comfortable, like you are getting on that mic, that's definitely a way you can do it. And to me, it's a lot more natural way. And mm-hmm. so you come from a place where you're speaking out of your heart versus speaking very structured. But for those that maybe they're not very good at that, they can't speak on a whim, or maybe you're just starting out, something you can do. And I love that you brought up a story. That is a huge thing. You need to make sure that you're tying whatever thing you're trying to bring across, whatever point you're trying to get across with the story. Because if I just sit here and spit out fact, you'd be like, all right, yeah, I'm kind of tired of this, especially if it's a, you know, 10, 15 minute video, you're not going to want to listen to that. So having that story to go with it, which again is what separates Joshua from myself, because we have a different story to tell to help tie in what that point is we're trying to bring. But if you're just getting started out, what you can do is some bullet points. Get a couple of bullet points. Typically, each bullet point is probably about 30 seconds to a minute. So depending on how long you want your video to be, you can figure out how many bullet points you need to do. Now, don't go too crazy, but depends on how...